we asked Ron Van Dam to tell us a little bit about his audience.
They're people from all walks of life, but they're the weird ones from all walks of life.
That's you he's talking about, sport. And yet here you are, still listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Oh my God.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. Hi, it is the Ron Van Dam Show. If there was a police lineup and I was in it, I'd be the one all the way on the left, just letting you know so you know who to pick out. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much. Sit down, be quiet. I will take it from here. Flight attendant will be handing out magazines. Please put your seatbelts on. We're going to be taking off momentarily. Until then, just shut up and sit there. If you look out the window right now, you'll see New Jersey. There you go. That'll be quite enough. Let me introduce some of the people that make the show possible before we do begin. Your announcer is John Shanahan, also comedy writer, does many of the comedy bits on this program. Then there's Nicole Reed. She books many of the national interviews that we do on this program. And then there's Jason Shaw, whose music you're listening to right now, creates and performs the opening and closing themes and some of the incidental music. Jason Shaw, ladies and gentlemen. And then there's me. I stop in every once in a while to pick up my check. Like today, here I am. Where's my check? Somebody said, Ron, if you really want to make money doing this in radio, you have to do a GoFund yourself thing. And I said, GoFund yourself? And they said, well, that's not exactly what I said, but it sounds like that. Okay. This is a part of the program where the theme music plays in the background and I make ridiculous comments that are supposed to just relax you or make you laugh or something like that. Nothing is working. I have no idea. That's enough. That'll be enough. Oh my God. I am suffering right now. Can you hear? I am suffering. Can you hear it in my voice? Like in the background of my voice is a little voice that says, I'm suffering. Can you hear that? I have allergies, but I don't, but I do, but I don't. I've never been diagnosed with an allergy to anything. I like peanuts. I'm talking about the comic strip. No, I don't have any pronounced allergies or nothing that I can't eat or anything like that. I just have what they call general allergies just because. That's what they call it. It's called just because allergies. You're not really allergic to anything, but you kind of really are. I have allergies year-round. Is it house dust? I don't think I have any. I have somebody that comes in and cleans the studio once a month, cleans my house once a month. Am I rich? No. But I don't like dust. It bothers me. I lived in New York City for a long period of time. I was brought up in the New York City area. And here's what's horrible about New York City. And if you live in New York City and you're listening to this show, I'm sorry to insult you, but this is absolutely true. New York City is so dirty. Just because of all the cars and all that stuff. You can clean off your windshield with a rag, and 2 days later, you look at your windshield. You can clean off your windowsill with a rag, and it'll be nice and clean. 2 days later, you look at the same windowsill. It's covered with soot. Gray soot, black soot, one way or the other, it's covered with something. And that's what you're breathing into your lungs on a daily basis. It's a wonder that New York City residents don't die at the age of 27. But they don't. And that's because the body gets used to everything. That's how it adapts to various things. However, not to allergies for some reason. So I don't know if I'm allergic to house dust. There's plenty of pollen. I live in a suburb now with a lot of trees around. I almost live in the woods, and there's pollen I'm allergic to everything, just everything but nothing. And when I say to my doctor, by the way, when you reach a certain age, you don't have a doctor, you have a team of doctors. I don't know why that is, but it just happens to be. You have a primary care doctor. You have a dentist, you have a skin doctor, a dermatologist, whatever you want to call that. You have an eye doctor. You have, and then if you have any type of specialty problems, you got one of those too. Maybe you got a foot doctor. Who knows? Maybe there is a nose doctor. You got all these doctors, and you got to see them all the time. Ron, we want to do a follow-up. When do you want to see me again? Tomorrow, that's too soon. Hey, how am I supposed to put my kids through college if I'm just going to see you once a year? And this is what we call preventative medicine. We also call it putting your kids through college. Preventative? That's what my dentist says. Everything's preventative. Yeah. We got to check your teeth constantly. It can change the next day. You've got to take care of your teeth, too. The teeth are you have to take care of them continually. Continually. Ron, you got to brush your teeth twice a day. There's nothing else on my body that I have to do twice a day. Twice a day, we want you to brush your teeth. We want you to floss, take a piece of string and go back and forth in your crevices. Do a little mouthwash, gargle, do whatever. We want you and make sure your gums are taken care of every minute, every day of every minute. Take care of your teeth. And yet, unless you're missing a couple of teeth or you smoke and they're like an orangey yellow like Trump's hair, I don't notice your teeth. I'd prefer you keep your mouth shut for many reasons. But I don't notice your teeth right off the bat. I don't know what that expression means. Right off the bat, what does that mean? I don't know. It means right away. I don't know why something would come off the bat. Are we talking about a baseball bat or one of those animals that flies around dark caves? Oh, there's poop on me. That came right off the bat. I just got hit by a ball, and that ball recently came right off the bat. I don't know what that means. Never did. Never cared. But I just used the expression. Expression, you use them and you don't even know what they mean. But I've wandered from the subject. Yeah, the teeth, man, you got to take care of them day and night. And then when you go see the dentist, and that's always a follow-up. Follow this up. Follow. Dentist, like, wow. You know, you got a cavity. We're going to have to fill the cavity. Oh, God, how much is that going to cost me? $2,000. And then once we fill the cavity, that'll fall out. We got to have to fill it again. Can't you put something in there that'll stay there permanently? No. How are we supposed to put our kids through college? We have health insurance. Does that cover the teeth? No. You have to buy that separately. And that doesn't cover everything. No one's got dental insurance unless it's $2 million a week that covers everything that can go wrong with it. Everything. You still have to pay through the nose. Why are you paying through your nose? Wouldn't you be paying through your mouth? Well, yes, but that's another expression. Paying through the nose. I have never paid anything through my nose before. I write checks with my hand. I tap credit cards with my hand. I'm kind of updating the phrase. But I've never paid through the nose. I've paid through the bank. I've paid through the credit card. I paid through my checking account, my savings account, but I've never paid through my nose. How much is this? I want to buy the coleslaw, half a pound of turkey, and some bread. How much is that going to be?
That'll be $20, please.
All right. How do you want me to pay? Cash, check, credit card.
I want you to pay through the nose.
I can't pay through my nose. Well, then you're not getting your stuff. Because you're going to pay through the nose.
What does that mean?
And also, this particular generation, I don't know what it's called, Generation P. No, that's mine. That's the one I get up in the middle of the night and do. So it's not Generation P. I'm doing Generation P right now, as a matter of fact. Is it Generation X? That's Twitter. That's Twitter. Generation something. You guys don't even know what these expressions mean. You hear them being used every once in a while, but you don't have no idea what these came from. And I don't either. I don't either, to be honest with you. But as I started saying at the beginning of the show, apparently I have allergies. So there you go. Actually, I have allergies through the nose. Yes, I do. There you go. There you go. Huh? There you go. See, there you go. There you go. There you go. Today is May 1st, by the way, just in case you live somewhere else. It's May 1st. It's the 1st of May. Hasn't been a May yet this year. This is happening now. It's the first one. And on May 1st, a lot of bills are due, and you have to pay them through the nose. Thank God you don't pay them through the ass, huh? Although, in a way, I do. May 1st, it's May Day. Now, here's an ironic thing about May Day. May Day is technically a European holiday where they celebrate the arrival of spring. Somehow, in Europe, their concept of spring is the first day of May. That's a thing there. It's called May Day. It's a celebration where you have fun and you celebrate the beauty of spring and flowers and vegetation and allergies and all that stuff. May Day is also an expression that is used pretty much by the military or by aviation, etc., that there's some type of incredible trouble going down and we are in a death-defying situation here in this airplane, on this boat. Mayday, mayday. You're calling for immediate help in a tragic situation that's unfolding as Mayday is being heard. That's a tragic, horrible thing to hear. That's also called Mayday. Two opposite ends of the spectrum. Celebrating spring.
We're gonna die.
All at the same time. Right off the bat. Through the nose.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily in the program, so stick around for that one. And that'll do it for me. I am really suffering here. You know, the funny thing is, and it's not so funny, so I don't know why I said the funny thing is, but the funny thing is that if you walk up to a stranger and tap them on the shoulder, by the way, don't do that because they'll probably hit you. Hey, what are you tapping me on the shoulder for? What the hell are you doing?
Oh, here's the thing. I'll tell you what it is. Hey, do you have allergies?
Yes, I do.
So do I.
all of a sudden, we're all one people. Doesn't matter what culture you are, what color your skin is, we all have allergies. And I think that should bring us together. I think the world should break out in peace and understanding and hold hands because we all have allergies. We all have that in common. I hate you. I hate where you come from. I want death to your country. Do you have allergies? Yeah, I do too. Oh my God. Oh my God. We're brothers.
And we're sisters too. Don't forget us.
Okay, sure. But we do have allergies in common. I believe that if Hamas and Palestine and Israel all realize that they all have allergies, although they live in the desert, maybe they don't. Come to think of it, bad idea on my part. They all live in the desert. This isn't going to work out. I've got the answer, by the way, to that horrible situation where students in colleges and universities all across the country are protesting because they want the college administrators to break all ties with Israel because Israel is just killing people left and right. Well, a horrible thing happened to them, but this is how they retaliate. We did that too on, you know, on 2001 thing. So, yeah, this is what humans do. They retaliate even harder than your first attack. This is what they do. But the college kids say, no, you know, give peace a chance. Stop this crap. You already did your retaliation. You've killed many innocent people. It had nothing to do with it. Yeah, but Hamas doesn't have a country. Who are we supposed to attack? I mean, Hamas is actually holding the entire Gaza Strip as hostages. All right. The United States and the colleges and universities should not be giving money to Israel to attack. They should be giving money to Israel to defend themselves like they should have to begin with. That we can stand behind Israel, that if you're attacked, we will help with your defense, but not help with your retaliation. Biden needs to make that very clear. We stand with Israel only on the defensive end, but not on the retribution end. Biden should make it clear, and he better do it fast, otherwise he's going to lose his college kids voting for him. Although if they voted for Trump, Trump loves Israel too. He thinks Netanyahu is some kind of god, so that doesn't work either. But here's what needs to happen. Israel needs to say to Hamas, I want all the hostages released now, and we will stop this. We will stop our retaliation. You give us all the hostages back. And we're going to both say to each other, we're not out to destroy each other. We're going to live in unison. We're going to live in unison between Hamas, wherever you are, and we're going to live in unison with the Gaza Strip, the Palestinians, and the Israelis. We're all going to respect each other. This shit ain't going to happen again. And they're all going to agree. You wouldn't want death to a country if the country is not going to do death to you. Standing there like schoolyard children saying, I'm going to kill you. Well, I'm going to kill you first. And I'm going to try to kill you until I die, which is what you're trying to do to me. Stop with the schoolyard stuff. That goes for the Middle East. It goes for Trump, too. Stop with the schoolyard stuff. You're acting like children. And protesters, you can protest all you want in this country. As a matter of fact, it's a good idea. But you can't destroy property. You can't vandalize. That's not protesting. Protesting is not destroying property, vandalizing, and taking over buildings. That you can't do. You have freedom of speech, but you don't have freedom to destroy public property. Get that straight, kids, and you'll be all right. There are various ways to make yourself known without destroying somebody else's stuff. And that goes for you too, Middle East. Stop destroying other people's stuff, including their lives. Why don't you all just want to live? Stop it. All right, Ron, who do you think you are now? The Pope again? Is that who you think you are, Ron? Well, you know, I'd like to hear from the Pope. I think the Pope should denounce some stuff publicly on a daily basis with a follow-up speech, just like the dentists. And I'd like my friend Biden, whom I happen to enjoy, to stand up and clarify about this funding for Israel. It's to make sure that they are not attacked and they can defend themselves from the oncoming missiles. If that happens again, that's worth the money. Giving them money in order to kill innocent people in the Gaza Strip? No. 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 Come on, Joe. Get it together. Trump, you know better. You're actually worse. Trump thinks that he can solve the problem immediately. Oh, God. Stop it. You didn't solve any problems at all. You created them. All right, that's enough. Happy May Day.
May Day.
Happy May Day to you.
Oh, my God, May Day. May Day, May Day. We're in trouble. May Day, May Day.
It's spring. May Day.
Confusing. Very confusing. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining me.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Christina Soontorvat joins us and Erica Lee. They're co-authors of a book, Made in America, A History for Young People. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
What prompted the two of you to write this book, Made in Asian America?
Oh, this is Erica, and thank you so much for having us. The history of this book really goes back quite a few years when I was teaching college students and really struggling to find a good book for my students that reflected the diversity of Asian Americans. I heard from so many of them that they just had nothing in their classrooms growing up or in their libraries. They wanted to see their histories represented in the larger story of America. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a book for them and I dedicated it to my college students. But during the pandemic, as you may remember, there was a rise in anti-Asian racism hatred and violence. And I started hearing from more and more people, parents and younger readers who were saying, hey, your book was really helpful, but do you have anything for younger readers who could help us understand what's going on today, the rich history of Asian Americans, and how to be active members in their communities during these trying times? And I thought, this sounds like a great idea for a new book, but I don't know how to write for young readers, so I need help. And thankfully, Christina Soontorvat joined in and wrote this amazing book.
Hmm. Beautiful. It's weird that, you know, it's like the culture to criticize of the weak. You know, it's like it's a weird world that we live in that we even do that. And we start blaming, an entire culture for just one thing that happens. And we're going through that now again with the Jewish people and such. It's weird. Anyway, There needs to be an understanding, and you know, youth is the groundwork. And if you understand things when you're young, sometimes that can transcend into better things for a whole generation. Is that the actual target, to let the youth understand like exactly where it is and where we come from?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, Erica's talking about her students who weren't, you know, had not learned this history. And mm-hmm. I also, when I was going to school, I never learned my own history. I never learned the history of Asian Americans. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, I felt very much when I was working on the book with Erica, like, please don't let any other other student feel the way that I did, mm-hmm. that I was just a side note in history. You know, these are incredible stories. There are powerful stories of racism and exclusion, mm-hmm. Heartbreaking stories, but also such uplifting stories of heroes who persevered and who pushed America to be better through, you know, through their activism, through protests, also taking cases through the court system. And these are stories that really belong to all Americans, whether they're Asian American or not. And to understand the history of our nation, these are the stories that you have to know, or else your knowledge is incomplete. So yes, we're absolutely hoping to change that for the future.
It has to be, because that's the way we are in this world now. We're all interconnected. There was a time in our history, actually, when I was younger, back in the 60s or 50s or something there. I don't even know how old I am anymore. Where there was just one history, and it was a history of the Americans, Ben Franklin and, you know, George Washington, and that's about it. You know, it's a little Revolutionary War thrown in, and that's your history. But I mean, obviously there's so much more, and so many other, people that put this country together that are not discussed. And we've just, in history, we've just excluded all of that. It's time to show that those are the building blocks.
We totally agree. Mm-hmm. we talk about the ways in which we first learned about Asian American history, mm-hmm. In this book. And for both of us, it really was learning on our own, mm-hmm. and really trying to figure out where do we fit in? You know, I remember growing up in my classrooms and having that timeline of dates and important figures sort of strung across the classroom ceilings, you know, and we would sort of march through time, and we'd learn about wars, and we'd learn about, yes, the great presidents.
Exactly.
And sometimes we'd have, you know, you know, historical pageants. So in my high school in California, or in my elementary school in California, we had a, you know, a Mayflower pageant. And mm-hmm. I remember being in awe of one of my classmates who actually had an ancestor who had arrived on the Mayflower. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, oh, that's, you know, that's really cool. But where did my ancestors fit in to American history?
Exactly. I mean, it was almost like a, I wouldn't say conspiracy, but a belief that that is, you know, just not part of it. And it's shameful. So, well, I'm glad that these stories are coming out. And there's, I mean, people are still banning books that still go against the grain of what they want everybody to know. It's sad in that sense. Have you, you've seen a lot of that, obviously, these days.
Yes. Sadly, book bans are on an unprecedented rise right now in schools and public libraries all over the country. And one of the particular targets that we've seen are any books that deal with race or racism and how that's affected the country's history. But, you know, the thing that I wish that people could understand about kids and about teens is how passionate they are about knowing the truth.
Yes.
They really have this keen sense. They are at this age where they can tell right away if something is being sugar-coated for them, mm-hmm. and they hate it. They are really yearning for a more complex story, for nuance, for, you know, to learn these difficult truths alongside inspiring stories. And, you know, Erica and I, we both are strongly believe that we owe it to them and to respect them and to give them that truth.
Well, we do learn by example. And when we hear of people who look like us and are us doing wonderful things that we weren't really told about previously, it does give you it gives you a goal. It gives you an identity and a worth. So this is actually very good. And youth is the place to hit it, like you said. You know, that's where your structure is.
We absolutely agree. And so many of the individuals that we highlight and profile in the book are past and present change makers, generations of individuals who, with their communities and alongside others, fought for equal rights and who are continuing to advocate for civil rights for all. And we kind of begin and end on that note, and we hope that readers of all ages will be inspired by that.
Perfect. So is there a website that people can visit to get a little bit more insight besides getting the book?
Yes, actually. So both of us have our author website. So mine is soontornbot.com. And Erica, what is yours?
ErikaLee.org.
Excellent.
And we have an educator's guide that's on there and a reader's guide. So, you know, if you get the book and you want to dig in more, it's a great way to spark conversations and have discussion around the topics in the book. So both our websites have that on there.
Great. It's called Made in America, Made in Asian America, A History for Young People, which actually is Made in America as well, because that is part of it. All right.
That's right.
A pleasure speaking to you. Continued success. Keep doing what you do. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new episode. I hope you join me then. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.